Chapter 47. Lieutenant Sherman was thankful for the implants. He doubted he'd be able to hear what Captain Bosa was saying otherwise, given the teeth-rattling violence erupting all around him, even as he stayed in the lead Badger's control cockpit to monitor the battle. His Badgers were keeping Rupak at bay, preventing what was clearly a numerically superior force from overrunning his Rangers by laying down consistent machine gun and grenade fire.
"We're getting hammered by Rupak," Bosa reported. "What's your ETA?"
"Roger, sir. We're still locked in this fight. We'll attempt to push up and break through. That's going to be our only option."
"Roger, wait one."
Sherman took the break to check in with his squad leaders. The fight was at a standstill, with the Rupak forces seeming to push and withdraw, usually with a light mechanized infantry assault.
"Morales, get the guys ready to push up. They're not going to let us withdraw and get back to the main road, so we're going to run through them to reach Ohio."
"Copy, LT."
A scream of heavy thrusters echoed across the sky. Sherman checked his instruments and saw the two smaller ships that had flanked the downed Rupak craft. The lieutenant called it in to Camp Ohio.
"Eyes on two Rupak ships heading toward Ohio. Appear to be the same craft as spotted at Camp Muir."
"Roger, we just received a message over the comms array. They're asking us to immediately surrender Brody and Alexa. I think it's clear that we're dealing with Rupak, and I'm not about to surrender our AIs to them."
"Roger," Sherman said. "We'll push to get through."
He sent the Badgers forward with the rest of the platoon held back, softening the front with mortars and relying on smoke and infrared to screen them as they pushed through the trail of wreckage toward the downed Rupak craft. Rupak soldiers attempted to hold the advance, but they were quickly overwhelmed by the Rangers' use of fire. They were in the open, with their only cover being the ICVs that now steadily rolled back to escape the onslaught of Badger and mortar fire. Men fell under the onslaught, dead or scrambling wounded on hands and knees in a vain effort to find cover behind their retreating vehicles.
"Don't let up," Sherman commanded. "Push until they break."
As they pressed through the whirling clouds of smoke set up to screen their advance, Sherman caught glimpses of the grounded Rupak ship. He saw no signs of the damage that had forced it down, but the forward section might paint a different picture.
"Position two Badgers to watch our flanks so no one moves behind us using the other side of the ship as a screen," he said to Morales. "Everyone else keep moving up."
Sherman's Badger had been peppered with enough fire that the impervious forward windshields were now spider-webbed with microfractures. Like all things bulletproof, they had a shelf life, but Rupak was getting it worse than they were giving it. The combined assault by mortars and the Badger's 30mm cannons were now paying off. The enemy ICVs were neutralized, some burning or worse, forcing their crews to escape and attempt to disperse into the woods or find cover behind the downed ship. Badger runners and Rangers made sure that the majority of them made it no further than a few steps from their ICVs. The last of the remaining ICVs moved into a full retreat, following a newly cleared path that seemed to connect with the rough, winding road that led to Ohio.
"Move up," Sherman ordered. "This is our opportunity."
The Badger's engines roared as they sped along the side of the Rupak hulk. As they passed the front of the ship, the lead Badger fired at a smoking ICV that had wedged itself between two trees. The ICV was disabled with a bang that sent its engine through its armored floor.
"LT," the vehicle's driver said. "Something's made a pathway here that leads to Ohio's roads. Looks well used."
Sherman looked back at the front of the Rupak ship. A cargo ramp was lowered, providing a clear view into its cavernous interior. There was room in there for at least 50 of the Rupak ICVs they'd just encountered, not to mention whatever might be stored on another deck.
"We didn't shoot it down," Sherman muttered to himself. "This is where they wanted to land."
He pinged Captain Bosa.
"Captain, this is Hatchet 01. This ship appears to be the source of the Rupak forces attacking Ohio. Transmitting images."
"Copy. Rupak ships you ID'd have inserted airborne troops in the midst of the camp. What's your ETA?"
"Rupak rear guard has been neutralized, pushing past the ship now. 15 minutes.
We'll hang on.
Hatchet out."
There had been a debate in Sherman's mind about whether to pause long enough to secure the Rupak ship. Given the situation at Ohio, he decided that was no longer an option.
"Rupak ship is deploying defenses," shouted a Ranger.
Sherman looked back at the ship and saw a platform rising from its top, holding a long, single-barreled cannon. And then another platform, and another. Four in all. One of them fired, striking the lead badger. The round penetrated, and the vehicle burst into flames. Sherman had no doubt that it had cooked everyone inside.
"Get out of those things, direct fire," he ordered.
A badger in the rear attempted to backtrack, only to meet the same fate.
"LT, the only place those guns up there can't get us is if we're in close to the ship," Morales advised.
Sherman swore and contacted Bosa.
"Hatchet 01, we have a problem."
Sherman's badgers weren't coming. Captain Bosa had just delivered the news to Ohio's defenders. RUPAC soldiers and ICVs were inside the wire, cutting off defensive pockets and isolating Osei refugees who already escaped violent trials in their own camp. Not even Brody seemed capable of turning the tide. The Badgers had downed both of the incoming RUPAC ships, but not before they'd managed to insert scores of the black-clad RUPAC operators who were moving almost unchecked through the camp, seeking to procure their targets. For that reason, Reach kept close to Brody, who would surely be a primary target.
"We need to do what we can to allow the Badgers and Rangers to fall back to the inner defensive perimeter," Reach told the AI. "Sergeant Tran and his team are trapped at their outpost. Let's get them clear."
"Roger, citizen. Running low on micro-missiles. You don't happen to have any, do you?"
"Not on me, pal."
They moved across the camp, pausing only once to engage a squad of RUPAC soldiers. The fight was over almost as soon as it started. Reach and Brody were moving back to back, with Reach covering the rear as Brody moved forward. The RUPAC squad emerged from between two buildings and were immediately fired upon by the big AI. Three men were down by the time Reach spun around and auto-targeted the remainder, shooting the soldier on his extreme right twice in the ribs and then working his way inward, his enhancements allowing his eyes to tell him precisely where each round would go. Meanwhile, Brody moved toward center from the other direction. If RUPAC got off a round, Reach didn't hear it. The duo moved past the dead and advanced through the camp's inner defenses to the combat outpost where Tran and his team were pinned. A light machine gunner opened fire on Reach and Brody as they moved. Reach instinctively dropped, while Brody stood tall, trusting his armor and the lack of organic tissue beneath to prevent him from regretting his decision.
"On the roof," the android rumbled. "Well concealed."
"Alexa," Reach said, "you got time for a pass?"
"All I'm doing is taking passes."
"Where?"
Reach transmitted the location.
10 seconds, Alexa replied.
"Oh, this'll be fun,"
Brody sounded positively gleeful. He began counting down out loud.
10, 9, 8, oh, they shot me in the junk. 6.
Alexa's hauler swooped in from overhead and issued a half-second burst of fire that silenced the enemy gun permanently.
"Nice shooting," Reach said.
"There's no lack of targets," Alexa replied. "I'm just worried we'll run out of ammunition before we run out of RUPAC."
The hauler banked and took on altitude, readying itself for a pass on its next target, even as RUPAC fire chased it out of camp. Reach pushed himself off the ground, and he and Brody took cover behind a now-ruined concrete printer. They were only seconds from being able to provide relief to the stranded Rangers. The RUPAC forces were assaulting Tran's outpost from all angles, but their discipline was sloppy. In their focus on flushing out the Rangers, they exposed their rear to anyone advancing from the center of camp, as Reach and Brody had done.
"Sergeant Tran, we're in position," Reach said. "Get ready to run."
"Glad to hear it. We're ready."
Brody and Reach opened fire, striking the RUPAC in the back and sending them tumbling forward in death as those near them whirled around in confusion. Some fired back, but the volume of fire Brody provided, plus the accuracy of both shooters, soon put down any resistance. Tran's men rose and added even more firepower to the newly turned flank. When there was a clear hole for them to run through, the Rangers sprinted toward Reach and Brody, who continued their suppressive fire. Tran's men didn't let up either. All the guns were talking. RUPAC found itself thrown back and unable to block the retreat. Tran was the last to arrive.
"That sucked," he said breathlessly as he jumped behind the printer next to Reach.
"Thanks. Anytime. We'll move with you. Defense in depth, so let's be ready to hit them when they push." "What they really want is me and Alexa," Brody said.
They'll leave once they have us.
How do you know that? Reach asked, still firing on Rupak as Tran's team performed a rolling withdrawal, leapfrogging one another.
Heard him tell the spy.
Spy? What spy?
Oh, right. Forgot to mention it. Yeah, Turner was a spy. Don't worry. I made him hit the showers.
Well, did you hear anything else? Anything we can use?
No. But he was directing the attack. Now he's not. They're playing on our terms now.
Reach let out a sigh. The prospect of someone betraying the boon and its mission had always been there since the moment they arrived, but still, this came as a shock. A new round of gunfire erupted behind them.
Contact, Massaw shouted. Crazewell's hit. They got Day, too.
Reach and Brody moved toward the action and found a dozen of the black-clad Rupak operators engaging Trans Rangers from behind a wall of Hesco barriers. But the moment Brody came into view, the operators concentrated their assault on the android.
Looks like I'm the belle of the ball, Brody said,
even as he was hit in the shoulder with one of the EMP-like disruptors. His arm went dead and swung like a wet noodle.
Pull that leech off me!
Reach found the device, pried it off the armor, and crushed it beneath his heel.
Thanks. Too many of those, and it's lights out.
Stay back, then, Reach ordered. We'll flush these guys out and keep moving. With Trans men keeping the Rupak operators' heads down, Reach was moving to flank them when a transmission from Dr. Roman came over the general comm.
I need some help here. They're trying to break their way into the lab.
They're after Dad, Brody shouted. If they can't have me, they want him.
The android leapt forward, joining Reach in his flanking position, and then jumped up on the barriers and fired his shotgun at the soldiers on the other side.
Catch! Boom! I have something for you! Boom!
Two of the disruptor rounds attached to Brody's thighs, and he shook as though being electrocuted. But with the Rupak operators fixed on Brody, Reach seized the opportunity. He turned the corner and quickly laid waste to those still alive with a series of headshots, the 6.5 rounds leaving no doubt that the targets were removed eternally from the fight.
Clear,
Reach reported to the Rangers, and then went to Brody, who had fallen off the wall and pried away the disruptors. He transmitted to Dr. Roman.
Hang in there, Doc. We're on our way.